Good morning. Today is January the 16th, 2010. My name is Letty Kincaid, pastor at Faith Fellowship in Round Rock, Texas. Today we continue our study on the Ten Commandments, Part 2, Tearing Down Our Idols. Good morning and happy Sabbath. Today we continue our study on the Ten Commandments by looking at commandment number 2. I'm handing out a card because I want for us to go over commandment number 1. For if we don't get squarely what this is about, we not only miss being able to understand the other 9 commandments, but we miss out on the only thing that will save us, and that is a relationship with Jesus. The first commandment says that you shall have no other God before me. We read that. Also read that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with our heart and our soul and with our mind. And Mark says, and with our strength. With everything that we have, God has to be first. I like to think about our hearts having a star right in the middle, you know, the shape of a star. Everyone knows what that looks like. And because in Revelation 22, Jesus says, I am the bright and morning star. And so there's that place in our heart that only Jesus is fit to fill. He is the star of our life. The problem is that we take and want to take on sometimes other things to fill that space that only Jesus belongs in. The entire reason that God has given us His Word is so that we can understand how badly He wants a relationship with His people. The Bible is story after story about relating to God and how God relates to us. There are certain expectations in relationships, and so it is with God. He expects certain things, and He actually demands them. So the Ten Commandments are not suggestions. God says, if we're going to be in a relationship, you will do these things. God wants a relationship. You and I have to decide if God is going to fill that place in our heart that is shaped only for Him. If so, then our life has to be something like what I've written on this card. God gives purpose to my life. God brings meaning to my life. He fulfills me. He is the focal point of my entire existence. God is constantly on my mind. When I'm down, thoughts of God comfort me. I want to live according to God's ways. I read about God. I talk about God. I make friends with people who are committed to God. I desire more of God every day. How awesome He is. If God is going to fill that place, then we have to be in this sort of relationship with Him. It is the only way that you and I will not settle for substitutes, which is what the second commandment is all about and what we're going to be looking at today, substitutes for God. And it all started back with Lucifer. Lucifer coveted something that he didn't have. And in fact, it took him all the place where he wanted God's place. I will be God. And ever since then, Lucifer has been lying to us, twisting the good things of God and making them to take center stage and to fill that star-shaped place in our heart. Yes, good things, worthwhile things, can be idols. So let's begin our study today in the book of Exodus, if you will turn with me to Exodus 20, verse 4. Lucifer wanted what belonged only to God, and that is worship. He wants to be, to have devotion, to have admiration, to have love that wasn't his to have. And he desires to pull us away from God in any way that he can by having us to shift our attention from God to anything else. Absolutely anything else. Exodus 24 says, you shall not make for yourself any idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not worship them, be devoted to them, adore them, love them, praise them, glorify them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now the word jealous has been changed to mean an emotion in what we understand of jealousy, but God is not emotional. He doesn't deal from emotion. God only deals from principle. So the word jealous would be more fit to be zealous. God saying, I'm not going to share our relationship with anyone or anything else. I'm not willing that you serve me part-time. I will not be your part-time God. He says, I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You know, this morning when the study of Moses, we were talking about when God confronted Moses, he said, I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. How many generations? When one family raises their children to love and reverence the Lord, that gets passed down. As well as when we don't teach our children about God and we let, you know, them be raised in any way, that gets passed down from generation to generation as well. So that's what God is talking about here. The consequences of choices last for a long time. He says, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. God's laws reveal who he is. They tell us so much about God's character. And from the beginning with the angels, when God created them, his laws were written in their minds and on their hearts, as were Adam and Eve, perfect creations. Last week we talked about how even when we have a good start, unless we stay focused, it doesn't mean that we're going to have a good finish in our lives. And we talked about examples. Lucifer is a prime one. He had a great start. He was created perfect. But because he desired to be the star in his own heart, ruin came. Not just upon God's house in heaven, but ruin got taken to the earth and amongst God's earthly children. And here we are in a planet that is covered in sin because the first commandment was totally desecrated. I want to talk about graven images, because when we talk about idols, we tend to want to think about people worshiping cows and frogs, and we know that the Israelites built a golden calf. So I want to address that for just a moment, because I come from a Catholic background, so I can very easily understand what graven images, any of you that have been in any type of religion, a Hindu religion, a Buddhist religion, graven images, you picture certain things. So I want to talk about that for a minute. Well, let's go to Psalm 115:3. And for most Christians today, thinking about idols and graven images, we tend to think, oh, well, you know, I don't have a problem with that. That's not really a big deal. I don't have any statues in my house. You know, I don't sing to things. I don't pray to things. God is my God. Psalm 115:3. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. God is saying that things that we make with our hands, they're just what they are, a piece of wood, a piece of metal, a piece of stone, whatever it is. You can make any image that you want, but the truth is, it is what it is. It cannot talk, see, hear, speak. And furthermore, God says those who make them will be like them, blind, deaf, and dumb. So God doesn't want for us to make any graven images of anything that we are going to tend to give our devotion and our affection to. Now, if that's all there was to it, I could wrap it up and we could go and have lunch early. Fortunately, idolatry moves. The devil is always up with the latest trends. You ever notice that? The devil doesn't miss a beat. So first, in order for us to be able to spot an idol, we need to know what the real deal is first. Just like when someone is being trained to spot counterfeit money, they don't set in front of them 15 different pieces of counterfeit money. No, they study backwards and forwards real money so that they can spot a counterfeit. You study and you look at what the real thing is, the real bill. And then when a counterfeit comes along, you can see it. That's what God wants for us to do. He wants for us to study him backwards and forwards. And we're not going to understand that unless we get in the Word and we read and we find out, who is this magnificent God? Who is my Creator? What kind of a relationship does he want with me? So like we read earlier in the card that I gave you, God has to be everything to us. My fulfillment, my meaning, my comfort, my joy. Everything in life has to go back to him. Otherwise, those substitutes will take his place. There are all kinds of substitutes. People can be idols. We'll talk about them first, because for human beings, we like being in relationships. God meant us to be in a relationship with him and a relationship with each other. That's why he says the second greatest commandment is to, yes, to love your neighbor as yourself. Unless God has that place in our heart and soul, other things like people will take the place in that star-shaped place in our heart. Let's think about what kinds of people. Look today, if you turn the TV on, what kinds of idols are people looking at? Rock stars, movie stars, sports stars, entertainment stars, politicians, convicts. Are we paying as much attention to God? Are we devoting the kind of attention to God that we do to human beings? Magazines, newspapers, billboards, all there to promote idolatry. Have this, read about this person. Whether it's sensational, what is it about sensationalism and drama? As you're checking out at HEB and they have all an assortment of idols, which one would you like to read about? That is intriguing for inquiring minds. Unless the Lord is front and center, we will be consumed with people. Oh no, and not just famous people. How about family? How about parents, children, friends, siblings. Jesus says if you love your father, your mother, your daughter, your son more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. Seems a bit harsh, huh? But the fact of the matter is, he is the giver of all things. Without God, you don't have a mother, a father, a friend, and a child. He is the provider. We talked about wanting God's presence more than his presence. Well, people are presence with the TS at the end. And we can't want that more than we want to be in his presence. An idol is what we live for. An idol fills our mind when we lie awake at night. Idols are what we buy magazines for. Idols are what we spend our money and energy on. Idols are ideas and values and activities that are higher than God in our life. The thing is, in order to recognize an idol, we have to choose to be honest-hearted. We have to choose to go before the Lord and say, just like Jeremiah knew, our hearts are deceitful. They deceive us. We can't trust our own hearts because we have carnal hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Just think about it just within your own household. You can be just as happy as a lark with your spouse, and 5 minutes later you want to smack them. What's that about? Deceitful heart. You're in love. You are my sweetest thing. And the next minute, I just want to strangle you. And over what? People cannot be our fulfillment because people will always disappoint. Which one of us can provide what God can provide? Who can be faithful? Who can be loyal? Who can love with a pure heart? Who can give and give and give in spite of getting nothing in return? It's what God does. He is amazing. He is perfect. He is holy. And he is worth anything and everything in our lives. Everything. Idols can be good things that are twisted. Realize the church can be an idol. Yeah. Good music at church can be an idol. Going to hear a great preacher. Yeah. Some people pick churches by preachers, music, you know, certain programs, potlucks. Anything that is a focus and it isn't God can become an idol in our life. Even ministry. That has certainly been a huge lesson in my life and one that God has made very clear that because God gives us something to do, when God gave me Cornerstone Connection, it was a huge blessing in my life. Still is, and has blessed many people. However, for a time I became consumed with it. It was doing good and was an excuse. Working was an excuse for having a relationship with God. And work / ministry took the place of God. And you know what? It didn't fill that star in my heart very well. There was always something lacking. Because nothing can fill all those little points in the star like God can. Something might fit in the middle of that star for a little while, but eventually you will feel the void. And if coming to worship together is not about coming to submit ourselves before God and finding a way to make him greater in our lives, we may find out that though we are here, God isn't. God wants an exclusive relationship with us. And though we desire it, we have one problem. We tend to gravitate toward selfishness. It's just what lies within until the Lord changes us. That's why the plumb line has to be God and God's Word. Always the plumb line, us adjusting to Him. There are so many religions now because people are looking for a God and a religion that can suit them. I want to form God. I want to make Him into what I want to make Him. I want to call the shots. That's what Lucifer said. Hey, God, your way stinks. I have a better way. And hey, guys, everybody that believes that my way's better, follow me. And 1/3 of God's children said Lucifer's way looks better. And today, you and I have to decide if Lucifer's way is going to be better, because there is coming a time when God is going to test, Revelation 3:10. He's going to test our love for Him versus other things in our lives. God has always revealed Himself to His people. From the beginning, God has given us the power to choose. God never forces. He's given us a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. And He's given us the ability to know right from wrong. For some, that may be small. For others that have been studying the Word for a long time may know more. But God reveals Himself to His people in the smallest of ways or in the biggest of ways. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Idols lie. They pretend they can give us what God gives, but they cannot possibly do that. Think about the things that drive people today. One that we're all familiar with, money. Because God tells us that you can't serve both God and money. We all know that money's necessary to, you know, pay rent and buy food, etc. There's nothing wrong with money. God says the love of money. But isn't that what drives so many people today? And yet if some people that are millionaires and billionaires are some of the saddest, unfulfilled people. Because no matter how much money you stuff in that star, it's never going to be enough. No matter what you can buy, think about all of your possessions. Think about those very precious things that belong to you. Oh, the things you don't want anyone to touch or scratch or smudge. The things that you protect. The things that we slave for. Year after year, whether they're houses, cars, clothes, jewelry, equipment of some kind, things for recreation, TVs, computers, cell phones, you name it, throw it in there. If you got the best of the best of the best of everything, you still would not be satisfied in your soul. Because you know what? Tomorrow there's a newer version. And next week something breaks. And the next week something stolen. And so that rat race of accumulating things that we think is what makes our world go round, leave us void, leave us unfulfilled, and leave us miserable. Idolatry is worshiping things that are not God. And it doesn't have to be things that we can touch and feel. It can be attitudes. Diana this morning talked about our study on dealing with offense in our life. Powerful. I hope that you'll be able to come on Wednesday nights and join in on that study. Because learning to forgive is power from on high. It's power. And it doesn't come from us conjuring it up. And one of our idols can be holding on to offenses. I was wronged. I'm never going to forgive it. They deserve this, and this is how it's going to be. And for some people, their past and things that have happened in the past rule their lives. It's how it is. Never can get past offenses and things that have happened. Circumstances, and yes, horrific things happen. Unfairness is going to happen every day. The innocent are going to be victimized because we live in a planet that is covered with sin. There is no way around it. But if you and I have a trusting, living, loving relationship with God, He is going to get us through whatever horrible thing is around the corner. And you and I understand that the Bible tells us that before Jesus comes, some horrible things are going to happen. And it is very likely that you and I are going to live through that time and that we are going to experience horrors, Jesus says, like has never happened before, ever since the creation of the world. We look at the devastation of Haiti, but we can't even begin to understand what this world is going to be like when Haiti is everywhere. All the way around, there's that kind of devastation where people are just distraught. Where is God? How could God bring this onto this planet? How could God bring this suffering? How could God let these things happen? For those that have a trust that has been part of a journey, day after day, week after week, year after year, that you have allowed God to prepare you today for what's coming tomorrow and next week, and next month, and next year, you will stand firm in your faith because you will trust your God, not people, not circumstances, not things. Getting the first commandment and understanding how one and two are so closely linked so that God can be the one that sits on the throne of our heart, He is the star. Otherwise, we're constantly going to be knocking Him off the throne to put something, someone, or ultimately ourselves on the throne that only Jesus belongs on. He is the Creator. How many times have we acted like mindless fools over things or people and given devotion, admiration, and worship to something that wasn't God? See, if we break number one, we very easily break number two. It's like a domino. There they all go. Down, 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 down. Go with me to Matthew 6:21. The rest of our scripture reading this morning. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The words of Jesus continue to ring in my head, and I know because God wants more commitment for me every day. You and I are never going to get to a place where we can sit comfortably in a chair and say, oh, I'm so committed to the Lord, I'm good. You know, I can sail through until Jesus comes and, you know, it's liftoff time. Never. God is always going to ask for more. In a relationship with Him, it's going to be that because we are being conformed to the image of Christ. In order to get more of Christ, more of us has to be shed. Whether it's sanded off or chiseled off, one way or another. God loves us so much. He is very patient. Sometimes God speaks through rebuke. When we're not listening, then He speaks through chastisement. But when necessary, God will scourge because God disciplines His sons. If our heart is in the wrong place, if we are honest-hearted, God is going to reveal that we are placing things, ideas, church, people, whatever, above Him. It's not a good place to be. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eyes are good, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great that. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is talking idolatry here. We can't want something more than we want God. Eventually, unless we are conformed to the Lord, we are going to find ourselves despising God, despising the restrictions. Yeah, despising the rules that God gives us to live by. We will wind up despising God. We will feel constrained within Him. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? I find that so interesting because in our world today, when everything is so readily available, food and clothing, what we eat and what we wear, have become idols. In most of our lives, they can become idols. The very things that Jesus didn't worry about day to day. There are always spiritual consequences for the things that we do. If we are not lining up with God, a lack of peace will come. Have you ever had a lack of peace when you're not doing what God wants for you to do? Yes. Who can't say yes to that? Absolutely. God demands for us to walk in holiness and to live pure lives. And as we mature and as we grow, He is going to ask for things. Oh, we don't get to pick. He's going to ask for sacrifices. It's called self-denial. Look at Luke 9:23. And Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. What in your life is racing way ahead of the Lord? What in your life are you using as a substitute for God? What in your life are you refusing to give over? There's always going to be something for every one of us. And it's different because our walks with God are very personal. There are no two relationships that are alike. If you want Him, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. How often? Daily, every single day, another lesson in love, either giving or giving up. It's always about one of those two things. Love means yielding. Love means giving up. And God is going to call for all the things that we hold dear to test us to see if He really is the star. Because truth be told, we all want to be the star in our lives. There's nothing like center stage, spotlights on me. Look at me. What about me? Have you noticed me? Have you looked at me? Have you seen me? We're all little Lucifers in the making. At the end, when Jesus comes, Matthew 25, when He comes in all His glory, He will divide the nations of the earth into two camps. Sheep on the right, little Lucifers on the left. Going to be a lot of little Lucifers. God calls them goats. Rebellious people who chose substitutes. Any goat has chosen to substitute a light bulb for the sun. That's the difference. That's us saying to the Lord, tomorrow instead of the sun shining, Lord, just put a light bulb over my head. Difference between night and day. We need to get so very serious about allowing the Lord to tear down our idols. And if you truly want to have a place in God's kingdom, if you want to spend eternity with your Creator, Jesus Christ, then you have to trust Him wholeheartedly. You have to give yourself over to Him fully, even when you don't understand where He's taking you. You don't have to understand. When God calls for something to be put on the altar, we need to put it on there. That's why Abraham, God said, you're righteous. Abraham didn't understand, but he obeyed. There are going to be many times, and I know I can think back of many times in my life where God has said to do this, and I didn't understand, but I knew that God was calling for it. God gives evidence when we're looking. If you have spiritual eyes and ears that hear, you're not going to miss out. But dear friends, I am telling you that Christianity has chosen substitutes over the real deal. And that's why the majority of this world is going to be lost. Because there are way too many substitutes, and denying ourselves to follow God is not easy. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That means we have to choose to adjust ourselves to God every single day. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, and God's talking about control of your life, whoever loses control of his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. That's why God says to trust in Him with all our hearts, not lean on our own understanding. Our wisdom is foolishness. We need God's wisdom to stay focused. We need for God to take the blinders off. When we take our vision from looking up to looking horizontally, where people and things are, that's where the devil will get us. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, on submitting to Him, on Him being our fulfillment, ask yourself, if all I have is God and everything else is taken away, will God be enough? It is my prayer that He will be. I've so enjoyed every song that you ladies picked out. It's perfect for what we've studied. And I hope that as Jesus knocks on the door to our hearts, that nothing, there is nothing worth losing out on eternity with our Savior, because one day all of this is going to be gone. And we ask God not to teach us not to cling on to temporary things, but to be interested in storing up treasure in heaven. And that is by allowing God to form us more into, to be like Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we are just absolutely astounded at how you lavish your love on each one of us. When I see your grandeur, all that you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit do on behalf of each one of us, I can't possibly understand that kind of goodness and righteousness and holiness. I'm so grateful to know you, Lord, to know your plan to come and redeem us from this sin-filled world that is filled with violence and lies and distrust and hatred. Everything on this planet is temporary, Lord, yet the devil makes it so inviting and so tantalizing. And in our weaknesses, sometimes we're swept away by some of these things. But how good you are to call us back on the straight and narrow. We thank you so much that you are a God with great mercy that covers each one of us. We thank you for your love that covers a multitude of sins. And one day, Father, we want to hear the words that Paul heard, because he pressed forward in confidence in you all the way to the end, and he could say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. One day we want to have that kind of a finish. And it is only by the first commandment reigning in our heart to love you with all our heart and soul and our mind and our strength. We pray for strength from on high and every grace to be true to you and to your word. In the name of the one who's given everything for each one of us, our sweet Jesus. Amen.